CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. We had a great interview with Steve Ulscher, and if you missed something or would like to have a download of it, you can do that right after the show on NewSkyRadio.com. We have free downloads on CJ Liu's site. You can just go there and download the podcast for free, and we also have it on iTunes. You can download. You can do a search under CJ's name, CJ Liu, L-I-U, and download it either place if you'd like to have that. And right now, we have author and blogger Christina Haas, who you can find at her website, and that's Christina Haas, H-A-A-S, .blogspot.com. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with CJ today, and CJ's website, if you'd like to contact her, is firedupwithcj.com. You can also connect with her on Facebook, and that's same name, Fired Up with CJ. And I'm going to go right back to CJ and her guest, Christina Haas.
Well, thank you, Cassandra. So welcome back, everybody, to the Fired Up with CJ show. So our next guest actually ends up being a high school friend of mine who I have to share the story. I don't know why I'm sharing a story, but I loved I remember looking back at her comment on my high school yearbook, and she wrote, I think going to a big school, I went to Duke University, said going to a good school will be good for you because it will expand your horizons, or you'll just be out of this small little town. I thought, who is this punk who is giving me the advice like a six-year-old woman would give me? Like, who is this? So I remember just reading that and laughing. And you know what? You were exactly right. I needed to move from the small town and expand into bigger horizons. So you were exactly right. But I just will still recall in my high school yearbook that, like, who is this person?
I was full of myself, wasn't I?
I just thought it was so funny.
But then again, yeah.
You're giving sage advice at the age of 18.
And look at you now.
You still are. I mean, this is what's so amazing. So the thing that Christina's story is featured in a book called Pebbles in the Sand. Is that the
Pebbles in the Pond?
Pebbles in the Pond, and that makes more sense. What's Pebbles in the Sand? That doesn't make sense. Pebbles in the Pond.
Wave 2. I have to specify that because there's one that came out a year ago that was the original.
Okay.
So it's the sequel is my book, Wave 2.
Yeah, and what a beautiful image, because it is a pebble in the pond, right, where you throw something in a place of stillness and ripples come through, and your life has made that kind of journey where, so an abbreviated version is that you pretty much were living the American dream, right? You had a beautiful house in the suburbs in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You had a high-paying job as a CFO at a real estate company. You had, how many kids did you have at that time?
I had 2 kids then.
Two kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed like on the outside everything was looking pretty hunky-dory, you know? I mean, enviable.
Oh, yeah. I that was part of the facade, really. I mean, I wrote my blog post this week about how those years I tried to be the perfect mother because I didn't want anybody to know what secrets, you know, lurked behind my past, and I didn't want... I wanted to live in the illusion, right? That life was perfect. So, yeah.
Okay, and then the downfall came. You lost everything. So what happened? I know now you're laughing, and I shouldn't be laughing, but you're laughing, so it's making me laugh because it's not.
No, well, when you get through all the nitty gritty, when you get through, I don't want to say it, but you get through all the bad stuff, you know, all the crap. And you realize who you are, you know, in your core, who your essence is, then you can laugh and you can be free and joyful and who cares, right?
So in what order did it happen? You lost your, you decided that you didn't want to be married anymore. You lost your job. You lost your house. I mean, did it happen all at once?
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
You know, it started with a miscarriage. It was an unplanned pregnancy, but that miscarriage, when I came out of that hospital room and was in recovery, all I could remember was an abortion that my husband and I had had earlier in our marriage. And I was in such pain, not just from the miscarriage, which was painful enough on its own, but realizing and having all of these repressed memories of the abortion come back up. And from there, I realized that my marriage really sucked and that I needed to get out of that. That took me a while to get to, though, because I had been brought up Catholic, and most people probably know that divorce is not sanctioned by the Catholic Church. So that came next, and through the divorce process, the trying to parent my kids. At that point, I had three kids. After my miscarriage, I ended up getting pregnant again, having another child. So at that point, I had three kids, and trying to take care of three kids and get divorced in a very unamicable divorce. I shouldn't say I lost my house. I had to sell my house. I don't want to live in victim mentality there, but I had to sell my house and leave the home my kids were born and raised in. And subsequently lost my job because I just couldn't keep it all together anymore. I was working till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I just at my brinking melting point, I really thought that I was going to die because I just couldn't do any more than I was already doing.
Oh no. Okay, so what was the point where you thought, okay, I've had it. And during this time, it seems like your husband was studying to be a deacon. So he was getting, I mean, so that must have made things even more complicated, right?
Yeah. Oh, it sure did. You know, the, one of the hardest things I had to work through was all of my Catholic belief system, my Catholic traditions, my community. And him going back to school to become a deacon really made it so much harder to work through the human part of my faith traditions and the spiritual part of my faith traditions and what was important to me and to keep and what I needed to let go of. And it really, the miscarriage and healing from the abortion really highlighted for me how much I was in it by myself. And my husband's inability to really just on any level to relate to what I was going through spiritually and emotionally. And there was an event in our marriage where it physically, it was obvious that he couldn't hear me anymore either. And at that point, I just knew that it was done. You know, he couldn't hear my voice, you know, when I was saying no, and I knew it was done. So that was probably the low point.
And was it do you think that the thing that was keeping you in the game was the spiritual parts of the traditions, the human and spiritual parts of the traditions? I mean, what was the kind of the guilt and the shame was the thing that was keeping you in?
Oh, boy. Keeping me into the marriage or keeping me into my, is that what
into
you're
the reading? Illusion. Yeah, you described
it
as an.
Well, I mean, I thought, yes, it was, you know, all those church laws that, church rules, the canons, that if I divorced him, that, you know, I was forever going to burn in hell. At one point, I think the night before he moved out of the house, he kept following me around the house telling me I was going to burn in hell for what I was doing. And that stuff was hard. That was very hard, and it took me several years to get past that I'm not a bad person because I'm getting divorced, and to understand that sometimes that rule that the church has about it really doesn't help marriages, but really makes it safe for bad behavior to occur in a marriage, right? Because if you can't get divorced, you don't have necessarily the same moral you don't have to necessarily feel the same moral responsibilities to the person that you're married to, which is what I think kind of happened in our marriage.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So, I mean, It must have been very hard, because are you a Catholic still, following the...
No, I don't identify myself as Catholic anymore at all.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing to let go of, and it took me a long time, but no, I don't identify as Catholic
anymore. Yeah, a lot of those beliefs seem so punitive, it seems like. I mean, I don't know. I don't know a lot of Catholics or have studied Catholicism, but it seems like it was a hard thing for you to live by that. You couldn't live the life that you wanted to.
Not at all. You know, I mean, I don't think one of the things that I think all Christian faiths teach is that we're born with original sin, right? And so if you believe that you're not born as a whole and perfect human being, you start out with shame and sinfulness on your mm-hmm. soul. And I choose not to believe that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That's one of the big ones, I think, that most people in the Christian traditions abide by and believe in. And I don't believe that that's true. I believe that whoever created us, whether you want to look at that as God or a spirit or the universe, that we are made whole and perfect just as we are.
Yeah. And you know what? Unfortunately, we have to take a break. So we have Christina Haas. You can find at her blog, Christina Haas, H-A-A-S, blogspot.com. And up next, we're going to be talking more about her abortion and miscarriage. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. In this segment, Christina Haas shares her story of healing from an abortion and miscarriage. And before I send it back to CJ and Christina, I want to give out her blog website again, because we missed a letter in there. So it's ChristinaEHaas.blogspot.com. So don't forget the E when you're typing it in. And if you get confused, you can call here at the station. I have her paperwork. I can help you out there. But when I typed it in, it was someone else's. So it's ChristinaEHaas.blogspot.com. So I wanted to make sure to clarify that.
I know, and both of us forgot the E, because I thought it may have been a typo.
Right, until I typed it in, I didn't know.
Yeah, and it's Christina, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, because I think sometimes people spell it somehow differently. I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyways.
Spell it with a K.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Christina. So, you know, the thing that I want, so now you are writing a new book. It's coming out hopefully this summer. The title is I Love You More, Messages of Hope and Moments of Grace and Healing from Abortion. So tell us a little bit about what your greatest hope is from this book.
My greatest hope is that women who have had abortions, who feel that they can't talk about it or that they're suppressing their experience like I did for many, many years, can find some peace in knowing that they're not alone, that they can find some healing for themselves in reading some of the stories and the powerful stories that I have learned and the lessons I have learned in my own healing experience, and hopefully learn to hopefully be able to open up and find a person. You don't have to talk to the world about it like I'm doing right now, but a person that you can share your experience with that will help you to really heal at a very deep level.
Because so if you go back to your 18-year-old self that was giving me advice in my 18-year-old self.
Sorry.
when you're a sage 18-year-old giving me advice, if you were to talk to that younger version of you that, you know, had made that really challenging, difficult decision. And what I saw in your blog post is that your grandmother also had an abortion, right? So, you know, what are the words of comfort that you would give someone who has gone through that or is thinking about going through that?
I think my biggest biggest piece of advice is that only you know in your own heart and soul what is right for you right now, and it's nobody else's business to tell you what to do, whether to have that abortion or have the baby. It's your choice, and I don't identify myself as pro-choice or pro-life. I have no judgment about my abortion or anybody else's abortion. It's a tragic choice that you have to make, and no matter which side you choose, it doesn't feel like there's a good result for you. There's a lot of pain that comes with having an abortion in many, many cases. And there is a lot of pain and stress in many ways that come from having the baby if your circumstances were, you know, that it was unexpected and unplanned and, you know, you're young or not financially solvent or ill or whatever the case may be. So it's never an easy answer, and everybody's situation is always different, so you can't judge somebody else's. You can't, there's no labels for it. You know, it's going to be different for each person. So, I guess that's what I would tell somebody.
And what would have been the most helpful thing for when, you know, after the abortion happened? I mean, what would you do? What would you have done differently now, hearing all these stories of other people?
You know, I think the thing that really helped me the most in healing, the practical piece of my healing, was hearing from my grandmother about her abortion. Because she was one of the most cherished people in my life growing up. She and my grandfather, they did not believe that children should be seen and not heard rule that I felt in a lot of my life. And they were warm and welcoming and loving to my sisters and I in so many ways. And so just before she passed away, when she shared with me about her abortion, it blew my mind. And the thing is, it didn't change anything about how I felt about her. You know, I realized in that moment that I still loved her and cherished her just as much as I ever did, maybe even more so for having learned that about her. And it took me many years to realize, well, if that's how I feel about her, how can I still be holding myself to a higher standard or a different standard?
Supposed God standard. I mean, I hope that God still loves and cherishes us regardless of whatever decisions that we make, right?
And I felt that I had God's forgiveness. I had another baby after my miscarriage and my abortion, and I felt like that was a sign of God's forgiveness to me. But for me to forgive myself took a much, much longer time.
I mean, I think it takes a lot to go through the healing, and I think probably forgiving yourself is usually the last step and probably the hardest step.
I think so. For me it was, and for many of the women that I've talked to along the process of saying who I am and what I write about right now, it seems that that's been the same thing for them too.
I think it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, because sharing a very personal, very painful story is hard, but then it's healing, and it's healing for so many other people. So I really applaud the work that you're doing. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you. I know for me, hearing my grandmother's story was healing for me. It was hugely healing for me. And I was still in such deep shame over my abortion, I didn't tell her that I had had one, too. And I feel like that would have been healing for her if I had been able to do that.
And she certainly
was one of the reasons why I like to talk. I like to talk about it now, because I think that it can help other people to look at that perspective.
And she still hears you. All right, so Christina E. Haas, Christanehaas at blogspot.com. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
You're welcome for having me very much.
All right, for folks, make sure next week that to tune in. We're going to have James Wanless, who is the creator of the Voyager Tarot, and we're going to be doing some annual Tarot predictions for 2014, as well as getting a business update on an astrological reading for Madeline Gerwick. So have a great week, everybody, and happy holidays.